Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to the Question Reality Radio Show. I'm Priscilla Leona, producer and host of this show, and we are coming to you live. Yes, live. At least I'm alive for now. Who knows? In a couple weeks, a month, I might kick the bucket with the COVID. You never know. It's going to come for me sooner or later. I just know it. I hang around so many people. It's just bound to happen. But let's just keep all of our digits crossed. Yes, because like we can do the eyes, we can do the toes, the fingers. Let's just keep them crossed because I'm sure you want to hear me forever and ever. So let's just keep it crossed. Okay, so we are coming to you live from Los Angeles. We've been on the air for 13 years, and we have been providing our audience with entertainment industry career advice. Now, this show is for you if you are questioning your career reality about pursuing a career in show business, or if you're already working in the entertainment industry and you just need some tips, advice, or resource information on how to elevate your career status. Now, guests on our show always include Emmy winners, Grammy Award winners, Tony Award winners. We have reality TV stars and just a wide variety of working show business professionals such as film, television, music, and radio producers and directors. We have casting directors, literary agents, casting agents, PR agents. We have talent managers, screenwriters, publicists, actors, comedians, singers, novelists. We have script supervisors, stunt people. And we throw an entertainment attorney in once a year just to help you out, because that's what your goal should be, that you can afford to pay a retainer for an entertainment attorney. You know you made it when you can afford that. I'm telling you, it's for real. Now, if you missed any of our shows, here are three ways that you can listen to any of them, any of our past shows. Number one, download our free mobile app from the App Store, the Google Play Store. Number two, you can listen to us on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Amazon Podcasts, Google, Audible.com, Stitcher.com. Just Google us. We're there. We are number one as soon as you type it in, LA Talk Radio. There we are at the top of the list, always. You can also listen directly from this website, the one you're listening to, on our archive page, which is my page. So just look for our show title, Question Reality, or you can look for my name, Priscilla Leona, in the search area. And there you will be, all of our shows for 13 years, just there. And we ask you for a favor. We kindly ask you for a favor, and that is to please subscribe to our podcast via the Apple Podcast, and also to subscribe and follow me and the show on social media. So all of them, just all of them. I'm hooked up all over the place. Anything that's on Linktree, I'm there. But I'm under Priscilla Leona. So Priscilla Leona, I decided to do that instead of Question Reality because you never know what ventures lay ahead, right? You got to make sure. That's a very good tip when you're deciding to brand yourself. This will come to you from any expert in any business. You must think carefully and brand yourself. Something, not something cute like, oh, my kibbleandbits.com, or something like Debbie Does Dallas, or something weird. You just can't do it because then nobody, well, actually, you probably could find Debbie Does Dallas very easily on Google. But you got to make sure that you choose a name that is branding you and your product professionally and that people can find. Because when people go to Google, if you have 3-4 different names, one for Facebook, one for Twitter, they're not going to find you. They will literally try for 5 seconds, 10 seconds max, especially with the Gen Z, and that's it. Done. They've moved on. So please, please think carefully and don't give yourself any cute titles. Just try to be professional, right? Your name is probably the number one thing. Okay, so finally, if you want to be booked on our show to refer someone to be a guest or promote themselves, showcase their projects, their products, or just help listeners by providing sage career advice, go to our official website. Now, you got to listen carefully. Our official website is questionrealityradioshow.com. questionrealityradioshow.com. Not the website that you're listening to us on now, which is obviously latalkradio.com. This is the website where we air the show. Again, go to questionrealityradioshow.com, and that's where you can see our entire annual guest schedule. And you might want to go there and take a peek to see who the upcoming guests are, check out their sites if that's a career you're interested in pursuing. So to submit to be booked on the show, just click the contact link. Really, really easy and short. We just need your name, email, title, and website. That is it. All right. Let's move on to this fascinating guest we have today. Oh my goodness. I'm just so excited to have him on the show. I've never had someone with a professional title. He's multi-hyphenated, which most of our guests are because they're in the entertainment industry. But in his multi-hyphenated title is the word puppeteer and cat wrangler. So I'm like, what? I've never had. I guess if you own a cat, period, you're a cat wrangler. But he likes to put it in his title, which I think is very cute, but never had a puppeteer. But he is primarily a writer, a director, a producer. His name is Tony, and I hope I pronounced the last name right. If not, he can correct us in a couple of minutes. Tony Jonick. He was referred by my lovely, lovely friend, Kelda Music, who I love. And she said, oh, Tony is the perfect guest for your show. So I thought, yeah, let's have him on. Let's see what this guy's all about. I want you to go to also maybe follow him and give him a thumb. That sounds so weird, giving somebody a thumb, even asking for a thumb. But that's what it's about today, people, isn't it? It's all about the thumbs. You need to get the little thumb up. But his website is KingFisherTalkingPictures.com, KingFisherTalkingPictures.com. His social media sites, you can find him on Facebook under TJONICK, which is Tony Jonick, Instagram, SF Stories Film, and YouTube, Kingfisher Talking Pictures. There you go. And he's got a whole bunch of other ones, and we'll find out. But we are going to just briefly, Tony Jonick is a writer, director, producer, actor, puppeteer, cat wrangler, as we said, for Kingfisher Talking Pictures and principal of Phase 4 Films. And he specifically wanted us to know that his company, Phase 4 Films, is the cool film company out of Oakland, not the bankrupt one out of Toronto that everyone wants to sue. Now, I have no idea what he's talking about, but I want to get the scoop on that. So we're going to find out what that's all about. And I love that he said that he considers himself the 13th most popular filmmaker in Oakland, California. I mean, that's an interesting statement, is it not? We're going to find out about why he calls himself that. And what I love is that he grew up in Fiji and Hawaii and Australia. And then for many years, he ran a publishing company and he wrote like a crazy person. And he said that, unfortunately for him, writing by crazy people doesn't sell so well. So he took a job with Apple. Now, I would think you'd have to be crazy to work at Apple because there are some serious people over there. Ooh, you got to be very, flexible in the mind to work there. I've had four friends that worked at Apple in the stories. But anyway, love Apple products, loving my Apple product. That's where he learned to make movies. So he's worked on nearly 50 indie shorts in various roles. Many of them have won awards in film festivals. And he just recently co-produced with Phase 4 Films, he and his colleagues, actually, I think, I don't know what his title was on that. We're going to find out from that. But he and his colleagues just completed their first feature film called San Francisco Stories, which is an anthology film about the beautiful city by the bay. And they are currently entering it in film festivals. So without further ado, let's welcome Tony Jonick. Welcome,
hi,
Tony.
Priscilla. Lovely to talk to you. I hope everything is going well for you.
Oh,
it's
Jonick. Oh, my God. I got that. Ooh.
You got it right.
I can't believe it.
A lot of people don't.
Yeah, that's a tricky name. You never know. But, you know, it's got to be one of two. So,
mm-hmm.
you know. I want to thank you so much I for being on the show. You are a friend of Kelda Music. I love her. How did you meet her?
Oh, through the film group, the film co-op I was part of. There was a fabulous film co-op that was running for like 12 years here in the San Francisco Bay Area called Scary Cow. And they just closed up the doors during COVID. It's kind of metamorphed, and I can talk about, you know, what they've turned into. But it gets, you know, people who want to make films, people who've heard about different things saying, hey, I want to try it. And people would, you know, come in. It changed my life. And she was working with a friend of mine named Guillermo Gomez, who's made some fabulous little films. And she's just, you know, a ball of lightning. And so she stands out in any room. I was able to use her in our feature, you know, briefly, and for a couple of other projects, and she just lights up everything she walks into.
It was lovely
to get to meet her.
Oh my God, she is so beautiful, and she's funny, and let me tell you, that girl has it going on in the marbles department.
She
is so smart. Every time she comes on our show, people are always writing in and saying, I was so impressed with your guest. She's so intelligent. She is the bomb, in my opinion. Yes. Now, I wanted to ask you, you wanted us to know that your company, Phase 4 Films, is the cool film company out of Oakland, not the bankrupt one out of Toronto that everyone says. So I am beyond curious about that. Give me the scoop.
So apparently, we discovered after we got the name Phase 4 Films that we started getting notices from lawyers saying, where's our money? And SAG was sending us all this paperwork, and we found out that this company had been around for quite a while, had done a lot of lower budget films, you know, Sasquatch Comes to Christmas, that type of thing. And people weren't getting paid, and they had gone out of business. I guess at one point they had been a very going concern. But we brought our name in right as they were going out. And so everybody started sending us interesting papers, and we had to turn them around and say, no, this isn't us. We would have Sasquatch come for New Year's Eve, not Christmas.
Not Christmas. So did you ever consider changing your name, or do you had already done the paperwork?
We were already ankle deep in that water, and so you know, we were not going to do it. And it's a good name, and we shouldn't let anybody take it away from us. So
I do like that name. I do like Phase 4 Films. I don't know what Phase 4 would stand for. Is there any meaning behind Phase 4? Is it like a lunar moon?
If you think about, they talk about water as being ice and steam and liquid, and those are different phases of items. A phase 4 would be something more energetic than steam, say, like plasma or something. But it's just a very energetic state of matter, that's all.
Oh, look at that. Look at what we're learning on this show, people. We're learning. Well, yeah. We could pick Tina. We are in phase four, dude. Yeah, that could be a new teenage saying, you know, a new thing. Now, you said you consider yourself the 13th most popular filmmaker in Oakland, California. Never heard that before. Why do you say that? Is that on a list of some sort? Oh, Tony Jonick, the 13th most popular filmmaker. Where did you come up with that?
Well, considering the amazing people that have been coming out of Oakland lately, like, you know, Ryan Coogler and David Diggs, and I'm trying to remember the other film that just came out. That wasn't Blindspotting. That was Sorry to Bother You. There's been a lot of people coming out of Oakland who are really, really good. And I know on the list of people who are coming out of Oakland, I'm probably somewhere down around 13. I'm sure it goes up or down depending on the day of the week.
Yeah.
But I can pretty confidently put myself in that bracket.
I like it. 13, it's before 15 and less than 20. Yep. I like it. But I would definitely think you are going to move down the list to number one very shortly, I'm sure.
I don't know. There's some good people I admire.
No, but you got to aspire. You got to shoot for.
I
do. The phase four of your life, right?
Yeah.
You stated that that for many years that you ran a publishing company and wrote like a crazy person, your words. And you said that writing by crazy people doesn't sell so well. Again, your words. I don't want to get emails. I tell you, I say one thing, I get emails. So you took a job with Apple, and that is where you learned to make your movies. Now, first of all, what kind of publishing company did you run? And then my next question is, are people who run publishing companies often writers? I mean, is that one way to guarantee that your book gets published, or is that a conflict of interest, or, you know?
Well, the way it works in the Bay Area, there used to be, before the internet, a lot of computer book publishers up here. And so I ran a company that offered services to all of them. I might design a book or design a cover, do editing, technical illustrations, basically whatever services they might need, I was able to offer. And I did that for about 20 years. It was a good time. And then right around the time the internet was really starting to ramp up, these companies started ramping down. I had a degree in creative writing, which, boy, that's been a useful degree. But I said, okay, let me spend some time really getting into writing and really trying it. And I found that my chosen genre, which is science fiction and fantasy, also around the time of the internet, a lot of those magazines started going away. And so I was doing a lot of writing. I thought it was really pretty good. Nobody was buying. And I had been working for Apple for a little bit and teaching people how to make movies. I'd learned the software. I said, you know, let me try doing a short story as a movie. And I wrote something up. I got a couple of my friends. I had basically a microphone and a DSLR camera and, you know, didn't know anything about what I was doing, and wrote a script where the two characters are walking through San Francisco talking. And I set it up as one of those homages to the films where people turn the corner and they're in a different part of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And I set the entire story up that way. So they turn a different corner and they're in a completely different part of the city. And it all ties into what's going on in the story. And by the time I was done editing this and getting it ready, it took me about the amount of time it would take me to do this as a short story. And now I had a movie, and people were interested in watching it. So that was a positive thing for me. And I fell in with Scary Cow and found a whole bunch of people who were just like me, trying to make movies, trying to get their stories told. And it was fabulous. So I just kept jumping into different projects, turning in this, turning in that. And at this point, I've got, you know, a lot of things I'm really, really proud of. Well, and some I wrote, some I directed, some I produced. But boy, I'm just really proud of the stuff I've been able to do.
Oh, yeah. Who wouldn't be? You shouldn't be doing it if you're not proud of it, right? Well, first of all, I just wanted to go back to that. You said that when you took the job at Apple, that's where you learned to make movies. So I would assume that you were using their software. I guess, first of all, what type of job were you originally hired for at Apple? Because I heard that you have a better chance of getting into Princeton or Yale without a high school diploma than getting a job at Apple. So, I mean, I want to know, how gifted are you that you got the job at Apple? And how did you end up learning how to make movies? Were you hired as like a technical, a software developer?
I was originally hired to just do sales on the floor. It was like a part-time job. And then they have at every Apple retail store a number of people who do teaching. And so to do the teaching, you have to learn the programs. And I, you know, learned how to do all the different Apple programs, from the easy ones to the pro ones, and just teach people as they needed it. And gradually learned more and more myself. So,
excellent. That's
sort of self-taught, group taught, and nothing teaches you how to learn like teaching other people.
That's right. So that is a great tip that Tony just gave you. If you're working as an Apple genius and you want to be a filmmaker, do what Tony did. Look what he did. My goodness. So, you know, you got the software. Go in the storeroom and whip up a Wizard of Oz while you're in the storeroom. I think that if you're working a job, there are so many people are not fortunate enough to have access to the silver spoon in their mouth, so they have to work jobs in order to make money, and that's just to pay their bills, let alone the money that it takes to do a film. You know how much this ridiculous shit costs to make a film. I am so glad, Tony, that technology has now provided us with software. You can make a damn film on your phone. There's many, 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 many different types of software, which we'll go into. But, you know, you don't have to rely on the traditional ways. And maybe you can tell us a little bit about that towards the end when I ask you how to give us tips on ultra low budget filmmaking. But one of the interesting things that I found about you was that you grew up in Fiji, Hawaii, and Australia. Now, Tony, I have been a person who's wanted to be a world traveler since I was a little, but life just sometimes gets in the way and I never achieved that dream. Mm-hmm. I did live in England for 6 months. Oh, but that's another story. So I just love hearing stories about people who've lived in exotic places and how they eventually came to do what they're doing now. So can you just briefly, you know, we don't want to spend a lot of time, guys, I've got like 25 questions for you. And can you just briefly tell us about your living history in those places and how you ended up in California? Because where you lived is going to definitely, I would imagine, influence your perspective on filmmaking.
Right. Well, it's one of those things that you talk about silver spoons or what have you. It wasn't quite that way, but it was, if you think my story is interesting, you know, you would hear my dad's story. He moved to Hawaii, met my mom, who'd moved out there as well. And he started Hawaii's first pizza parlor, was doing really well with that, said, hey, I think I'm going to get into real estate as the next thing. Started off selling funerary niches, ended up selling islands. We ended up moving from Hawaii to Fiji and just lived this amazing life as kids. I mean, it's one of those things. I have all the material for a great movie and a great novel. I just have never had the time to, you know, get it all down correctly. And so born in Hawaii, we moved to the Fiji Islands because he thought that was going to be the next Hawaii. I spent some of that time at a, you know, very hard style, British style boarding school, which less said the better. And he ended up drinking away a lot of his money. The oil crisis hit in the 70s, and we ended up moving back to the United States, you know, as completely broke people. And so then from high school on, I was back in living in the U.S. in the Bay Area. After living in this idyllic, you know, tropics, and I was getting ready to finish up college and go back out into the world to travel, I met the most beautiful woman in the entire world. I'm sorry, Lee, Priscilla, I know you're beautiful. To me, my wife is a number one, and I've been here since. So we've had a chance to, you know, go back. I still need to take the kids. And it was a great place to be a kid. It was an exciting, wonderful life. And, you know, it was one of those things that in some ways I look at friends who are, you know, first generation immigrants. And it's not quite the same because I had to, I spoke English, I was a U.S. citizen, but, you know, we moved to America with nothing and, you know, managed to figure out our way as we were going along. And
what happened to Australia?
I love Australia. Australia is a beautiful, beautiful country and great people, but I lived there right at the time their schooling was moving away from some incredibly conservative, hard style teaching, dealt with a lot of that, sort of stuff you read about in the, you know, 1930s books and stuff.
Yeah.
Like that.
Oh yeah. My gosh. Well, I'm a big tennis fan, so I just love seeing the Australian Open and they do
Australia's
shots of the beautiful. And I have a friend that got married and moved to Australia. And I always say, oh, I'm going to come visit. I'm going to come visit. Oh, I don't think it's ever going to happen now with this COVID thing. But you love it. You love Australia. You know, I know that you've worked on nearly 50 indie shorts and you have won over 80 awards at various film festivals. And as a member of Phase 4 Films, you, as I said earlier, you and your colleagues have just completed your first feature film, which is San Francisco Stories. Love that title. And I understand it's an anthology film about your beautiful city, by the way. Every time I hear those words, I think of the Journey song. You remember that Journey song? I love that.
Oh, yeah.
And you're currently entering it in film festivals. Did you enter it in my film festival, the Burbank International Film Festival? You'll have to wait tonight is the last night of our film festival for Burbank. But did you enter it already?
We had lined up and we're just now starting to get into it. Yeah.
Okay. So don't forget.
And a lot of them have, you know, are closing out this month.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, we close out. But if you can remember and you want to enter it into the Burbank, it's one of the most prestigious in LA, and we do it at AMC every year, and we have literally thousands of people. Like for this film festival, we had all of the Bridges, Beau Bridges. I think he's dead, but the two brothers, we had them for the opening night ceremonies. It's a really big to-do. We have it at the Burbank Hilton. It is lovely. If you can get into that film festival, you are almost guaranteed. We're very picky, but you know, you gotta be when you have so many thousands and thousands. But most people who win an award, they usually go on to get distribution for it. So just check us out, Burbank International Film Festival. And we start, I think in January we're going to start, but it's an excellent festival. So just give us a brief synopsis about the film San Francisco Stories. Tell us what's it about.
Sure. So my friends and I, we had been, making these short films. And our co-op, Scary Cow, it was really built for that. And we didn't really have a way to make a feature. So, we always are trying to innovate since we've got nothing. So we figured out a way that we could do five interconnected short films through Scary Cow, following their rules, and then take all five of those, get them edited together into a feature, and then we've got our first feature. We go, okay, hey, we'll get this done. We'll put the pieces together. We've got our audio. We've got our music. Kabing, kabang, kaboom. 6 months after we finish our last one, we're done. We want to finish before November, the final stages of this, because November will mark 4 years we've been working on this. We keep saying, okay, it's just one more little tiny thing to do, and then it just keeps taking a while. It's one of those things that, we're assembling every nut and bolt by hand. We were incredibly fortunate. One of our members in our group was able to get a gentleman named Robert Dalva, who was a award-winning editor. He did things like Captain America, and he was helped cinematography on Star Wars. I mean, really amazing guy, and he edited for us, did a really good job. So story-wise, we've got these five different stories. Some of them are tragic, some are comedic. Some are just, slice of life going on in San Francisco. And we cut back and forth through all of these stories just to see how these people are living their lives. Because San Francisco, everybody says it isn't what it used to be. And yet you go back and you look at it and you say, hey, it's a new vital place every single day. There's another thing coming up that's exciting and beautiful. And we just wanted to capture all of that. That's a bit long-winded, but...
No, that's all right. You gave us the detail that we need, because people who are interested in possibly checking it out will know more about it. I went on IMDb, and I was briefly reading the synopsis, and I was just... You had me when you said that... it's about this girl. Well, this girl's in it, Nina, who's new to the city, and her friend Mikey, and they want to. They meet a guy. Oh, they want to go to a Burning Man together. Oh my God! Right. I went to one of those one time. I said, "Oh Jesus, God, have I entered another realm of hell?" Not my scene. Not my scene, but all my friends at the time loved it. So it's for them. I'm too scared to go to a Burning Man again. But I like how they, along the way, they met a Play-Doh, mm-hmm. right? And he's a homeless man who has these clever signs to get them discovered as an outsider artist. I'm like, oh, and then there's a Marwan who's a public defender, and he's trying to lift his poet cousin Andy out of a deep depression. And then, I said, I have to see that. Look at all these really colorful, interesting characters in this story. And then you got Connie, who's the young tech temp worker who can't afford to live anywhere. And that is a subject that all of my friends who have moved from San Francisco, who said they couldn't even afford to live. These are people who make over $150,000 a year. And they said, Priscilla, I can't even afford to live in this city anymore. It's too much for us. So they moved. So I thought, ooh, I want to find out what's happening with that story. But I like how there's so many different types of characters, and especially the character, the hippie grandfather, Ulysses. I mean, there's so many great, I mean, how would you not want to watch this film? Because it's got something for everybody. So
it sounds pretty good. I should watch it.
I know. I love it. I mean, that Emma, and then is it Sadie or Sadie, their immigrant event planner, who was living as a, I think it was an unliking.
She's a social director for Mel, who's a young socialite. Okay. And Mel, Sadie, and her grandfather, and the Sadie's little daughter, are living as a family. And then one of Mel's friends comes in and has a proposal that ends up knocking the whole family apart. So there's a lot of things going on in this.
So
we really wanted to try and get something. You know how, I don't know if you've ever seen this film, Shortcuts.
Oh, my God, yeah, one of my favorites.
What it did for L.A., we want to do that for San Francisco.
Ooh. Well, yeah. Isn't there any way we can see it now? I could probably do something for you, Priscilla.
But
God. Well, send it over. I won't tell anybody about it. Nobody listened. But I guess they can see the trailer. Now, if they wanted to see the trailer, where would they go to see that? Is it on YouTube?
It is on YouTube. I'm going to recommend if they go to our website. It should be sfstoriesfilm.com. To hang on just a moment. I try to be sure.
Yes, it is. sfstoriesmovie.com. That's it. You got
sfstoriesmovie.com.
It.
Yes. And that's going to be the website for our film. If that trailer is not up, I'm going to be sure it's.
Oh, you better make sure it's up. Everybody's going to go there.
It's on the news page. Let's see. Nope. I'm going to be sure that is up there as soon as we are done.
Okay. But maybe they can go to YouTube. Is it on YouTube, the trailer?
It is on YouTube. If you were to do a search for SF Stories on YouTube, it should be right there. And I, again, will just confirm that. It's one of those things when you're trying to, you know, be chief cook and bottle washer at the same time, you know?
Well, everybody, just give Tony a little time after the show, and he'll make sure it's on the website, and you can go there. And while you're looking for that, I'm going to go into my next question, because I want to ask you, as I said earlier, I'm all about making a quality film project on a budget, which I've done. Oh, my God, I made are you ready for this? You should see. I produce and direct music videos. And I did one, my very first one starting out, and it looks damn good, Tony. I said, damn, how did I do $50? That's all the client had. She was an Argentinian dancer, and she wanted to just make, you know, a short little music video with her song and her doing her Argentinian dance. I went to downtown LA, and I do not advocate guerrilla style movie making. I'm just going on record now, because you can get in trouble. I mean, there have been people arrested for that, so I don't recommend it. But that was the very first time I said, what am I going to do with $50? We can't get a film permit. So I said, well, let's just, so we shot it at a pool at this apartment complex. Then we wandered into the Bonaventure Hotel, waited for people. Cause you know, Bonaventure is the hotel that has the clear glass and you go up and you can see the city. So I waited till everybody came out, and we just took, what I do is I took three people who had iPhones. And I put them in the elevator, and I parried in an amp with the song right in the elevator, played it, and then had them dance in the elevator. By the time I finished editing it, because I produced it, I directed it, just like you, produced it, directed it, edited everything. It is so good. And I said, why am I going to be begging people for thousands and thousands of dollars like I had been with my films? I said, I can just, I'm computer tech And my husband, he's a software developer, so I had his help. And I'm able to use the software. I can do my own stuff for the short stuff when people don't have a big budget, you know, low end. Mm-hmm. So that's what leads me to the next question. It was a quality little music video, and I've done many shorts as well on a budget. And with today's film software, everybody, this is for you. You can really make top-notch short films or even features if you do it well enough and you have enough people, what is that one, Tony, the one that got so much on recognition because it was shot on an iPhone? It was about 10 or 12 years ago. Orange.
Tangerine. There was another one done called Finding Sugarman that the person finished up on an iPhone 5 because they didn't have enough budget.
And look at that.
I always tell my customers, my clients and students that on your iPad, you've got a better camera than Buster Keaton ever had. You've got a better editing suite than Orson Welles had when he made Citizen Kane. You have all the tools. What it takes is the people, the skill, and the knowledge, and the love to want to do this. And that's, you know, really what it is. We're not all Orson Welles, but, you know, we do have this gear. And we're not limited technically the way they might have been. We have amazing stuff at our fingertips. Right. And a film distribution system right in YouTube, you know, or Vimeo.
Yes, absolutely. YouTube, Vimeo, they've got, what is that other one? Roku, they've got, there's no real excuse. If you say you want to be a filmmaker, you go on YouTube. Everything in the world that you could ever want to learn is on YouTube. There's no excuse. Everything you want to learn is on Google, Wikipedia. So don't even say, oh, I don't know how to do this. If you don't know how to do it, you can teach yourself. But a lot of people, they're unfortunately a little lazy, Tony. They want everybody to do their work for them. So they want to have all these people get together. And this is a pet peeve of mine when you have a person who not hires because they don't pay them, but they get all of the cast and crew and they promise copy credit and meals. Mm-hmm. And then when it gets, they finish the film, usually they want to star in it, but when they finish, they do absolutely nothing to get anything done with that film. They drop it and they move on. And what happens to the casting crew? Yeah, they may get a credit on IMDb, but what does it matter when nothing ever happened with the film? So I feel that that's wrong to do that to all those people. These are people giving up their time, their effort, their talent. If you're going to make a film, this is for the audience. If you're going to make a film and you're going to call yourself a filmmaker, follow through and make sure that you are going to get distribution or try as hard as you can. Do not do this to people who have given up time that they'll never get back. Every second ticks away on the clock that we're never going to get back of our lives. So don't waste people's time. So that's my pet peeve for the day. So I really, that drives me nuts. So if you can give us maybe 1 to 3 useful tips for ultra low budget filmmaking, what could you say? How to... Anything you want.
First thing I would say is work on your skills at making friends, because you can have the greatest story, you can have all the gear, you can have everything you want, but if you're going to make a film, you know, you can't really do it alone. I've seen the rare cases, you know, where somebody does it in their basement, but it's not the same as learning to meet people. Even if you're an introvert, you can do this. Just go and find somebody you can help. You can be a part of things and develop your social skills so that when it's time for you to do the thing that you want to do, you've made friends, you've got people who are willing to help, and at the same time you're increasing the amount of love in the world. So that's always my first thing, is make friends. Don't be scared of that. I know it can be the scariest thing, but it's really what's underneath any of this. This is how famous producers are. They know who to call, and they know who to help, and then they get help back in return.
Yeah.
You can always learn technical skills. You can always, you know, find, you know, a story that you want to adapt. But this is a social collaborative art. There are plenty of other art forms, you know, like writing, that you can do on your own, but this one is social. And so that's, to me, what's underneath everything. The second thing I would say is try and figure out how you want to get this distributed. If you can't, you could, you know, make the greatest masterpiece, and if nobody sees it, then, you know, it's a tree in the forest, falling in the forest. You want to have some way that people can get their eyeballs on it, because that's what's how something is going to live. I mean, any piece of art relies on an audience to appreciate it. And those are the two, to me, the two toughest things in filmmaking. Getting the juice together to start the film, having the juice to get it distributed when you're done with it. Production is its own thing, but it's both ends that, to me, are the hardest parts. If that makes sense. And try and increase the amount of good in the world while you're working on this. If you're pissing people off and you're, you know, making folks angry as you're blocking traffic, you know, you develop a reputation, and it's not worth doing. Even the greatest art isn't worth doing if you're, you know, not giving more love out into the world.
That's right. And, you know, studios don't play that prima donna Betty Davis eye stuff anymore. You can't get away with people acting like, and Betty Davis is my favorite actress of classic talk, so I love her, but you know she was a terror on film. I mean, in the industry. And
Joan Collins? Joan, no.
The one that...
Oh, I know who you mean.
You know,
no wire hangers.
Yeah, no wire hangers. Oh, I hate to say it, but I hate wire hangers. Oh, my God. I don't know. Every time I think about it, I'm like, no, I'm not Joan. Gosh, whatever her name is. I can't believe it now. Real quick, we got like 2 minutes. I want to talk about, I understand that you have a podcast of fiction called the Kingfisher Radio Hour. Do you still have that? Yeah. And if so, where can we listen to that?
That's on Apple Podcasts or any place that picks up podcasts. I listen on a company called Overcast, Kingfisher Radio Hour. It's got some silly stories in. It has some books, stories from my book. It has a lot of goofy detective stuff going on in it. And it's just for fun. It's a bagatelle.
Type in the Kingfisher Radio Hour, right? The Kingfisher Radio Hour. Can we find that if we just go to your website? Would we be able to find that on there? You have that on there?
Probably not. My website's one of those things that, you know, they always talk about the cobbler's kid is unshod. You're better off, like I said, going to the Apple website or Overcast or Spotify.
Okay.
And those are, yeah. Kingfisher Radio Hour.
I love. Is that a book? The book, your science fiction fantasy short stories book called "Draw Back the Bow."
That is. Yes.
Oh.
And that's also available on Kindle or on Apple Books.
Apple Books. Yeah. Is it on Amazon Books? Oh, that is Kindle.
Kindle.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Kindle.
Yeah.
Well, so if we just type "Draw Back the Bow," or we can type your name, Tony. Mm-hmm. Jonick, that we'll be able to find the book. Now, what is this affinity suite and babies with rabies? What the heck is that?
Oh, lordy, lord. Those are a couple of films I've got in development right now. Babies with Rabies is one of those quickie short horror comedy films that we're developing, and Infinity Suite is a prestige project that we're trying to get off the ground. Husband and wife scientists are trying to figure out how they should be living their lives when they can travel to different dimensions and see how all of the versions of themselves are living out their lives. So it's
Are you currently sending out an EPK for to get development, and you're in the development stage, so you're trying to get your money, and what
we're
stage
trying to
are
get
you
our money.
Trying to get some cashola? Hey,
yep.
Shoot me over your EPK package. I'll try to help you. I mean,
okay, thank you so much. I do want to mention before we go, if you go to YouTube and just put in San Francisco Stories trailer, at least on my computer, it comes right to the top.
Okay, that's wonderful. But I love that, Babies with Rabies. I cannot imagine what that is about, but I love it. I really love that. Are both of these shorts, Infinity Suite and Babies with Rabies?
No, these are features that we're trying to get developed together.
Love it. Well, I tell you, that sounds like you got a lot going on, and I'm excited for you, Tony. You keep me abreast of this situation, okay? And if I can help out in any way, let me know. Definitely, I want you to submit your projects to the Burbank International Film Festival. Again, I can't say whether you're going to get in or not, because, you know, that wouldn't be right. But we can always put in a good word for you. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
And on your website, make sure you always put your little trailers on there and before you start promoting them, so everybody can get excited about your projects, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Well, thank you so much, my sweetheart, darling man by the bay.
This has been a joy. Thank you so much.
Joy. I adore you. You come back whenever you want. You just let me know, and we'll promote things as you get closer. Like if you're trying to, you know, raise some money or something, we'll do that and promote it. Or when it comes out, you know, just it's unlimited, right?
You got it. Thank you. Talk to you at your leisure.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Go to Tony Chonick's website and also on his social media sites. He's at KingFisherTalkingPictures.com. Hit him up on Facebook at TJONICK and Instagram SF Stories Film. Thank you for everything. Thank you. Say goodbye to your fans, Tony.
Bye-bye, you wonderful people. Talk to you all later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.